I walk around on pins and needles, around people I can't even name. I keep on passing church steeples, praying that my God is still the same. I've been wandering like a fool to climb the sea. Maybe it ain't the bottle that I need.
And welcome back to another episode of The Coach and the Don. Coach Graf, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Don Dyrud?
Doing great, especially after that intro. That you've just been coming with hot fire with these song intros. You know, when we get together to do this podcast, we obviously prep the show, and then we come up with an intro song that we really want. And the coach has been the one coming up with most of them. Tell me, how did 2 weeks ago we have a little Celtic Desire, little Irish theme, and then this week we get this nice country jammer?
You know, if I could explain the madness that went on up here, I'd be a millionaire already, but I can't explain it. It just happens.
Okay, well, I like it, so don't stop.
I appreciate it.
Don't stop with that. Well, welcome back, as we said, to the show. Happy to be back. We are finally both reunited in 51 Yard Line Studios. Good to be back. If you have not already checked out sportsaldente.com, we ask that you please do that. Go over there and subscribe. We have a lot of great content coming at you. We are starting our draft season. We have a little teaser for you on that later on in the show. But just a lot of good stuff. You know, we got a lot of good articles on there. You know, if you use the code WELCOME10, you're going to get 10% off of your subscription, whether that be a monthly, a yearly, or a lifetime. So please make sure to head over and do that. But let's get on with the show now. We are, two days away from the championship games, the championship rounds of the playoffs. Your Chiefs are playing the Patriots.
That they are.
And
that they are.
As a member of Chiefs Kingdom, before we get into the actual game and break it down a little bit here and there, just what's going – give me some of the emotions. Give me some of what's going on in that mind of yours as as a team that hasn't been there in over 20 years, team that hasn't been in a Super Bowl in over – 40.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind?
Boy, you know, excuse me, it hadn't really sunk in yet, really. Hadn't really hit me what is at stake and what the reality of this situation is.
Understandably.
I mean, I keep telling myself we are one game away. One game away from the biggest game in all of professional sports. And I don't know if it's going to hit me until that kickoff when we're playing the Patriots, when it's happening. You know, I keep trying to psych myself up, but I you know, it's just, it's all surreal. It's all just like, you know, I've never experienced this. I don't know what this is like. I don't know what it feels like. So I don't really know how to feel. I'm excited. Today I started to get a little anxious just because of like, it's closer, you know. I don't have to think about getting up for work, you know, tomorrow, don't have anything going on. And then Sundays it's game time. It's here. It's arrived, so I don't.
Yeah,
I want so bad for this to happen. I want so bad to see us in the Super Bowl, because that's probably the biggest check mark on my you know, bucket list, is watch the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I've seen, you know, I made when I was in junior high, I made a sports bucket list of things I wanted to see before I died, completely out of my control, but things I wanted to see. I wanted to see a Kansas Jayhawk National Championship for basketball. Saw it in 2008.
Yeah.
I wanted to see a Kansas City Royals World Series. 2015, saw it.
I feel like that would have been the hardest one, and somehow that's already checked off.
Right? Yeah.
That was the most unlikely one.
I felt like that was the biggest, you know, the biggest stretch.
Yeah.
And obviously the last one and the biggest one is a Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl. And here we are, 2018. Yeah. Very possible to see that. 2019, I guess now.
Yeah.
10 years ago, if I would have said, you know, all three of those would have been checked off, I wouldn't have believed you, but it's possible.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Yeah. Like, you know, we were talking a little bit pre-show, you know, in 2015 season would have been 2016 playoffs. I've mentioned this on the show before, but I went out for the Broncos versus Patriots AFC Championship game. Me and my then, at the time, girlfriend, now wife, and two of my really good buddies went out there, and you know, just being in the city for the game, being around the fans, being in Broncos country, And then being in the stadium for that, I mean, there was a little more added to it because it was the last Manning Brady. But just being in that stadium, it was surreal. It was like one of the most, still to this day, the greatest sports moment I've ever been a part of live. But then I will never, ever forget that moment when, for those of you, if you remember the game, Broncos led the whole way. Patriots really could do nothing on offense, but then on their last ditch effort drive, they went down and scored a touchdown, and they had to go for two in order to tie it. Broncos intercepted it, so then, you know, the last play of the game was an onside kick. Broncos recovered it, so that's like the official end of the game. And I remember just turning to me, and he was then my best friend, then he became my best man at my wedding, so someone really close to me, and we both just looked at each other and we're like, we're going to the Super Bowl. We are going to the freaking Super Bowl. Started jumping up and down, like, and obviously the crowd was going nuts, like, then they get the fireworks going, but that moment, just like, we're going to the Super Bowl. And as a Broncos fan, we had been in the Super Bowl just 2 years prior. And yet it was still that kind of surreal feeling. I mean, it was a little different because I was there live. But it was still like, it's such a rare sports achievement for these teams to make. It's not like basketball where you have these super teams that, yeah, if you're a Bucks fan, that's going to be a surreal moment. But if you're a Lakers or Celtics or Warriors fan, it's like you're going every freaking year because you have a super
expected
team. Yeah. So, you know, in football, it's aside from the said Patriots, it's so rare that your team makes it that when it does happen, even if it is only 2 years removed, it still feels like it's a real but anyway, so I can't even imagine what you're going through. Never seeing it in your lifetime. Yeah. Seeing them playing in this championship game only once, and you were what, 3 years old?
Yeah,
so
3 years old.
You don't remember that.
Probably even two.
Yeah, so that's not a memory of yours. So yeah, I can't even imagine what you're going through, but it's fun. I'm as much as I hate the Chiefs, I'm happy for you. I have a few other Chiefs fans, so it's been fun my whole life. I'm actually going to see one of them tomorrow. But it's fun my whole life just dogging on Chiefs fans just because of what they've had to go through. So, you know, it's as a respect thing. I respect it. I'm happy for you guys.
Well, I appreciate that.
And it's hard to say.
I completely understand. And I do – I want to – as much as it is just as a fan, I do want to see us get that monkey off our back, man. I mean, we're just known for our playoff meltdowns.
Yeah.
And I want to see us overcome that. And the greatest thing about it is, this is Mahomes' first full season, and we're already one game away from the Super Bowl. It's only going to get better, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you think.
You know?
Yeah. You would think. Well, let's get into the game then. That's a good segue. See, so obviously the Patriots coming to town. I think we can break it down position group by position group. Obviously, they did a tremendous job against the Colts. The defense showed up in a huge way. We talked about in the last show how they're a very opportunistic defense, show up when they need to, get turnovers when they need to, sacks when they need to. Last week, they were not just opportunistic. They were a dominant defense. I don't remember the sack total. Maybe you do, but it seemed like they were in the backfield constantly. Luck had very little time to throw, made big plays, and literally shut the Colts down. I mean, they got that last touchdown in the last, 3 minutes of the game. Other than that, the Colts offense didn't score. It was special teams. Blocked punt was the only points.
Yeah. And to answer your question, we had three sacks officially. I think it had to have been the game plan because we knocked so many balls down at the line of scrimmage. I mean, Chris Jones knocked a couple down, D Ford, Justin Houston. I think going into it, Bob Sutton and Reed were preaching, hey, you know, we see on film, if we get our hands up, we may not be able to get to Luck like we normally do because their O-line is good. You know, yeah. Luck was a very clean-kept quarterback all year, and even though we led the league in sacks, that was going to be a difficult task. So I think going into it, one of the key things was to get your hands up, man. Knock those balls down. If we can't get to him, get to the ball coming out of his hands. And we did that really well. And one thing I think that our defense played so well, we've been getting better and better. We're not a good defense yet. I know we're not. But we're getting better. And one thing is, you know, week 7, week 8, we started playing these younger guys, you know, Ward at cornerback, Jordan Lucas at safety. We're playing these younger guys in week 7, 8, 9. Yeah, they were bad. They're inexperienced. They're rookies. They're young guys that don't really have that much playing time. But now here we are in last week in the divisional round. They got some dirt under their cleats now. You know, they have some stuff under their belts. So they're starting to gel, starting to play better, and what better time to become a really good defensive squad than in the playoffs? There really is no better time. I'd rather see us, you know, give up so many yards and points in week 10, week 11, and then really start shutting it down when it matters. So
yeah, of course.
I'm pretty excited. Not saying Andrew Luck is any slouch, because he's really not, but compared to the Patriots offense as a whole, it's a different ballgame. So hopefully Sutton and Reed have these guys prepared, and we go on with the game plan. I know it's really hard to beat a team twice in the league, so hopefully we have that advantage. But yeah. I feel confident going into this against the Patriots. I don't, you know, obviously it's not going to be a gimme, but I do think we'll probably be in control most of the game.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you're the, I won't try to speak on their behalf. You're the expert on the Chiefs. I mean, you're biased because you're a fan, but you also watch them week in, week out. You're able to critique. What are the key matchups? I'll play interviewer here, and you sure. can be the analysis and an educator, if you will. But what I mean, obviously, everyone's going to look at Mahomes and Brady, but they don't play against each other. It's
right.
Mahomes against the Patriots defense. Is it, Van Noy and that linebacking core over there in New England? I mean, what are the key matchups that, we're a West Coast podcast, so we'll, you're a Chiefs fan, so we'll put our rooting interest, per se, in the Chiefs. So what's the key matchups for the Chiefs to come out of this game? Victors, AFC West champions, AFC Conference champions, excuse me.
There you go. I know it takes a little bit getting used to.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is stopping the Patriots running backs out of the backfield. Our linebackers are decent at stopping the run, but they're not good in pass coverage. Anthony Hitchens, Reggie Ragland, D4, Justin Houston, they're not great at pass coverage. We know that. So, if Sonny Michel and James White get going in the passing game, we might get in some trouble early on. We're going to have to figure that out. We're going to have to game plan for that. That's going to be a big matchup, seeing how we can counteract those really good running backs coming out of the backfield. When it comes to stopping the run, I think we'll be okay. Derek Nnadi's really come on strong. Chris Jones is always good in the running game. And like I said, our linebackers in the middle, Ragland and Hitchens, are good against the run. I think Hitchens led the team with, like, well over 120 tackles this year. but anyway, other than that, on the offensive side of the ball for the Chiefs, Kelce and Hill, the story. I think the Patriots are going to key on Hill. They're going to key on Kelce. So I think our X factor is going to be Sammy Watkins, if you can call him an X factor. So I think they're going to bracket Hill with a safety over the top and probably Gilmore. I think they're going to be the primary guy there. Kelce, cover him with one of their linebackers, maybe put a safety on him. But you're not going to stop Kelce. Kelsey's still going to have a big game. But I think, like I said, the go-to guy is going to be Sammy Watkins. So if we can get Sammy Watkins going, if we can get him 7-8 catches, I think we'll be in pretty good shape. So Sammy Watkins against whoever they have covering him, it's got to be one-on-one. You can't go one-on-one with Hill. You can't go one-on-one with Kelce. And then when we're on defense, stopping White and Michelle out of the backfield.
Yeah. I think probably the biggest matchup, and I feel like it's not really getting talked about as much. Maybe it is a little bit, but it's got to be playing at Arrowhead. Well, you can call it a matchup or not, but, I mean, Brady's 28-10 in the playoffs since he's come into his career. Of those 10 losses, 5 of those are on the road, so he's not great on the road. I mean, he doesn't play very often.
Right.
But he's 0-4 in his last road games. And, I mean, that's dating back to, like, 2005 because they play so few. But, I mean, that's huge. And Arrowhead, not only is – it's not just playing on the road. Arrowhead is arguably the best home field advantage in all of sports. Certainly top 5, top 10. And so going into that stadium with the starved fan base, with that beating drum, I think that's, to me, maybe the biggest factor.
Yeah, it's hard for me to argue that, and I don't really want to argue that. I think
there's no need. You don't need to argue it.
Yeah, good, because I'm not going to. the 12th man, I'll steal that slogan. The 12th man is going to be there, and Arrowhead is going to be loud. There's no doubt about that. I don't care how cold it is. I don't care what the weather's like, rain, sleet, snow. The Chiefs' kingdom will show up, and they're going to be rowdy. They're going to be loud. There's going to be plenty of what's the phrase? Chalkboard material. We're going to have hype videos playing on the video board that'll get the fans rocking. And what I think is kind of cool, there's going to be a blood red moon directly over Arrowhead Stadium that night.
So, did your astronomical homework?
I did. So it's almost written in the stars that this, it just feels like it's finally our time.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. You know, we've gone through so much. We've gone through so many quarterbacks. We've gone through, you know, we've had great offenses. We've had great defenses that never really got over that playoff hump. And we've always, you know, like I said earlier, had meltdowns. Last year against the Titans. Against the Colts in 97, I believe it was. 93, when we were led by Allen was still there. Steve Bono, we had that really good defense. I'm sorry, Montana was there in 93. Bono was 97.
But even more recent, the Colts before 97. The Colts again, what, in 5, 3, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
2013, 2014?
I want to say that was 2014, maybe in 2013, but that was on the road. It was in Indy.
Yeah.
But granted, yeah, so many playoff meltdowns, and I think it's just finally, you know, we have this.
Broncos in 98.
Shut up. But granted, I just feel like all of that nonsense and all of that negativity and all of this, you know, being the butt of the joke to where we're so good in regular season, then we just hit the playoffs and we can't perform. I think all of that's going to come and finally pay off because our savior's here. You know, Patrick Mahomes, we believe in Patrick Mahomes so much. It's really hard to fathom what that guy means to the team, what that guy means to the city, because one of the most passionate fan bases in all of sports is Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, they love the Royals, they love Sporting KC, and you better believe that they love their Chiefs. Win, lose, or draw, man, we're Chiefs Kingdom, and we bleed red and yellow. So I think this is the year we overcome that hump, and we have confidence now. You know, we when we beat the Colts last week, it felt different.
Yeah.
It finally felt like we had something to believe in. And
it looked different.
It did. You know, it wasn't a close game.
Yeah.
Really.
They dominated from start to finish. But
they did.
I wish you had a bib on to catch some of that drool coming off you.
Thanks. Yeah, I really need one. I'm going to have to change my shirt. I'm really looking forward to it. And it's so hard for me in this role to be unbiased and to be a full analyst and to be just a observer. Because I so want to just engulf myself in this feeling and in this time. I really am looking forward to this game. I think it could be a good game, but I do think we'll kind of be in control the entire time.
Yeah, no, it should be good. We would be remiss if we didn't mention that the Chiefs did lose to the Patriots during the regular season, but it was at Foxborough early on in the year, their first loss of the year.
Yep.
And as I mentioned, this game is in Arrowhead, which I think is huge. I mean, when I was at the Broncos in 2015, I don't think the Broncos won that game if it wasn't in Denver. I think that was a huge factor. So
yeah.
I think that plays a role. I think Mahomes looks good. The pass rush, I mean, you mentioned the Chiefs are leading. Surprisingly, I don't think anyone mentions it, but the Chiefs led the league in sacks, and guess what? That's how you really beat Brady, is get after him quick and early. So it's going to be a good game regardless. It's going to be a great game, but I think the Chiefs as well. I know I picked the Colts last week. Part of that was just to go against you. But,
sure,
you know, I did.
Sure it was. Sure
I did,
it was.
I did have faith in the Colts a little bit, too, with how we won't get into it, but how they're constructed. But I think in this matchup, I think the Chiefs go to their first Super Bowl since 1969.
Boy.
Whew.
Man. Yeti.
Man,
I
could be history. Whew. Well, let's get right into the next matchup then. And if you've listened to the show, you know there's a lot riding on this game. For not necessarily the Dom, but for the coach. And he did not love the Rams, what they did in the offseason.
I did not.
Thought they were going to implode, have some issues, which, you know, there were some growing pains here and there, but still finished as the number two team in the NFC. Now find themselves in the NFC championship game, heading down to the Big Easy to face New Orleans. And if they do escape the big Cajun City with a victory, our friend gets to eat a nice delicacy, not necessarily a Cajun delicacy, but gets to indulge in a wine cork.
That I do.
Yeah, looking forward to that if the Rams win. So,
if. That's a big if.
Taking that out of the equation, we look at the game now. Mm-hmm. You got Goff versus Breeze. You have Gurley and C.J. Anderson now versus Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. You know, it's weird to say that after only three games, but CJ Anderson's looked pretty good in that role as the two-headed attack. You have two tremendous receiving cores, and you have two good offensive lines, and you have two, as you kind of have alluded to earlier, not talking about these teams, but the Chiefs, you have two opportunistic defenses. I wouldn't call them great defense. I wouldn't call them shut defenses, but, I mean, that's how the Rams beat the Chiefs was with turnovers. That's how the Saints have won games with turnovers. They got one last week against the Eagles, and on the Eagles' last would have been game-winning drive. Granted, that was more just for a dropped pass by Alshon Jeffrey, but, you know, defenses that make plays when they need to, the bend but don't break mentality. Mm-hmm. Going to be a great game. It was a great game when they met in the regular season. The Saints came away with the victory, but they went up, I think, early, like 35-14 with the lead. The Rams battled all the way back to tie it and then ended up losing late. Should be a good one. What do you see shaking down? What are some matchups you like? You know, you have the young Sean McVay versus the wily vet and Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Does it come down to kickers? Are we going – Will Lutz versus Greg Zuerlein? Is that what this is coming to?
What it boils down to, for me, it's a couple things. Number one, experience. You can't overplay experience. No. This is the Rams' first NFC Championship under McVay, and I think the first one since like 03, yeah. When their last Super Bowl run. If I could be mistaken there, but I think it's been a very hot minute since they've been this deep in the playoffs. Saints were, you know, one play away from making the NFC Championship last year. Obviously, they've won a Super Bowl with Breeze, with Peyton. So they've been there. They've done that. They're much more experienced than the Rams. So they obviously have that playing in their favor. Playing in the dome is going to be huge. But I think what it's going to come down to is Tre'Quan Smith. Michael Thomas is going to – the Rams are going to do everything they can to shut down that guy because they know the offense – the passing offense goes through him. Kamara and Ingram, you know, they're going to do what they do. Nothing's really going to change. Kamara's going to probably have a decent game. I don't know if he eclipses 100 together with Ingram probably because the Rams defense struggled. They did shut down Zeke, so maybe they have a – you know. Something going on for them. Maybe they're watching film, but I'm not sure. But I think what's going to happen here, the biggest X factor for the Saints is going to be Tre'Quan Smith and going against presumably Marcus Peters. Peters has struggled mightily all year. It's been headline news, you know. But I think as far as Tre'Quan Smith can take the Saints, that's how far they'll go in this game. I think the Rams offense really is going to struggle. C.J. Anderson is not going to do what he did against the Cowboys. Saints are prepared for him. They have film on him now. He's not going to take anybody by surprise. And Todd Gurley, I don't know. He's they didn't utilize him that much last week, so he's got to be there's got to be something going on with Gurley because you don't have an MVP caliber running back and you just don't use him in a game plan in the NFC divisional round. I mean, it's win or go home. So there's got to be something more to Gurley. But I think everything's going to go through Tre'Quan Smith for the Saints.
Okay. I'm going to go basically on the same storyline as that, but just opposite. I think Aqib Talib is the biggest matchup. Well, if you know Wade Phillips' defenses, it's a lot of man and a lot of getting after the quarterback. So they're going to try to get after Breeze, and he's going to leave it up to his secondary to really try to shut down those Saints receiving core. And that's no easy task. And we know Breeze likes to feed
Kamara?
No.
Ingram?
No, their number one receiver.
Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas. I kept wanting to say Mike Smith. Michael Thomas. He's going to feed Thomas the ball. It's going to happen regardless. It's going to be up to Tlaib to really shut him down if possible, but at the very least, like, contain him and stop the bleeding. Because they're going to try to get after Breeze, and, you know, Breeze, if he has a quick release – like they usually do. It's not going to work out, but I don't know. I think it comes down to Tlaib if he can really shut down Michael Thomas. Then, yeah, we'll get into what you said, and if Tre'Quan Smith can really kind of take on himself that role as the number one guy for this game. I think the Rams offense is going to be okay, personally. I think it's going to be – the running game is going to be okay. They've shown that – I mean, the Cowboys have a much better rush defense than the Saints. Granted – this is in New Orleans in the dome. It's a different story. But the fact that they were able to put up almost 300 yards rushing against the Cowboys. Yeah, it's any given Sunday. It's a different week. It's the playoffs. They have time to prep. I get that 100%. But I still think they're going to be able to utilize their run and still be efficient and effective. And, you know, to your point on Gurley, that is an interesting thing that they didn't utilize him as much. I don't know if part of it was they didn't feel they needed to. I know they were losing. The Cowboys went down on the first drive of the game, took the lead, and then never led since. So I think they just kind of were playing the game out. I'm like, you know what, let's – Gurley's still – he's healthy, but he's not quite there. So he had that one 35 – whatever it was, 35-yard touchdown. They're like, okay, let's kind of use him sparingly if CJ's giving us yards and CJ was getting bulk yards. Not saying he's going to do that against the Saints, but I think that extra or those less reps that Gurley got is going to really come back and be able to be utilized against the Saints team. So another game that I'm just extremely excited for. I mean, these two matchups are two that marquee playoff matchups with the AFC and the NFC. You know, sometimes I feel like last year – don't get me wrong, last year's playoffs were great, but, you know, when it came down to the championship game, you had what? You had
Vikings and Eagles. And
yeah, we had Nick Foles and Case Keenum, and you had Brady and Blake Bortles. Whereas now, you know, you get Goff and Breeze, and you get the top two offenses in the entire NFC, and then you get the top two offenses in the AFC with Mahomes and Brady. And it's just – that's what you want to see in the playoffs. Nothing against last year's playoffs. They were a lot of fun, but, I mean – yeah, this is showtime. This is what you want. This is what you made for. And I don't know. I think for me, the NFC is tough. It's too hard for me to pick. I'll do it because we do it. But
yeah, I feel like we actually do have the four best teams in the league. I think these are the four best teams. I don't think there's much argument there. But when it comes down to this game, all you know, bias aside and wine cork eating aside, I do think the Saints have the edge. And I think what it comes down to is just the home field advantage and the experience. And I think the Saints take this one. I think it's going to be a great game, probably the game of the year. You know, the first game wasn't as good as people thought it would be or hoped it would be. Second time around is going to be a different story. I think it's going to be a really good game, Super Bowl on the line. But, yeah, I think the Saints take it by a slim margin.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I think it's – I'm going to go with the Rams strictly for – you know, I feel like the Rams went through their little slump a couple games before the playoffs and kind of got back on track and looked – I think they looked really good against the Cowboys in all facets. Goff didn't look great but didn't need to. They were utilizing the run. They rushed for almost 300 yards, so he threw for like 185 and he just wasn't really needed. He only threw like 50% completion, but I think he can be better. The Saints, I feel like, kind of – not in the win-loss category, but just the way more so the offense played. Kind of skidded into the playoffs a little bit. They were not at their peak being how great of an offense they were. And then against the Eagles, who granted their defense has stepped up in a big way. They're one of the hottest teams in the NFL. But I mean, the offense did not look good against the Eagles at home. Like first time having a home playoff game in quite some time. And so I just think that they're kind of – if you want to call it slumping, it's hard to call them that because they haven't really lost. But – their offensive play is slumping a little bit. I feel like at the wrong time. It was where the Rams' defense is coming up at the right time. Their offense is really stiffening up in the run game.
And I not to interrupt you.
No.
But I hear what you're saying. But most offensive starters sat week 17. Then they had a bye. And then so really they had 2 weeks off. And they went down early against the Eagles 14-0, then came back and won 20-14, so they scored 20 unanswered points. To me, I think it's just they're out of rhythm, and I think now they're going to be a little bit more prepared. They have their game mentality now. You know, having 2 weeks off, it sounds good. You know, ideally on paper it looks really good to rest your players and stuff, but really when you go two straight weeks without playing at game speed, you're going to be a little off rhythm.
Yeah.
So I think that may have been what was happening against the Eagles. Granted, their offense hadn't looked great the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, because you go back to even like before their bye or before week 17, they barely beat the Panthers. The offense put up like, what, 12 points, 15 points? Then they put up 3 against the Cowboys like 2 weeks before that. So, I mean, it just slumping a little bit. We know what they're capable of. We know they're going to bounce back. And like I said, that same period, the Rams were kind of doing the same thing a little bit. But I just think they've team-wise turned around a little bit And it could be, I could just be doing, you know, what have you done for me now? And I'm basing it just off last week's game. I'm trying not to. I'm looking all the way back a couple mm-hmm. weeks. But
sure.
just that dominant win against the Cowboys versus the barely hanging on and comeback win against the Eagles. And arguably, if Alshon Jeffrey didn't let the ball go straight through his hands, could have ended up losing. Yeah. So it's a new week. Any given Sunday, it's going to be sure. a great game.
It will be. Like I said, I think it's going to be the game of the year.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to top the Vikings-Saints last year, but I think it'll be a good game.
Yeah. I mean, any Super Bowl we have out of these four teams is going to be a great Super Bowl. I would prefer it not to be the Patriots.
Right.
So I'm, and it, as weird as that is to say as a Bronco fan, that I would prefer the Chiefs to go on. I think it's more so just to see a different team. I'm so sick of the Patriots representing the AFC. But, I mean, let's say the Chiefs do move on, or even the Patriots playing the Saints or the Rams. It's you,
right,
it's going to
yeah.
be a great game. It's going to be a great Super Bowl.
It really is. Yeah, you're – like you said it perfectly, any combination of these four teams, it's going to be a good game in the Super Bowl. So it's just as a fan, you know, trying to take myself out of the Kansas City Chiefs fan base, but as a true football fan, it's just exciting to know that Sunday we're going to have a good slate of games, and the Super Bowl is going to be one of the best that we've seen in a long time, regardless of who's in it. So, yeah, there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, which is hard to say because we've had some great Super Bowls. I mean, last year's was great.
Yeah.
NFL, baby. We got some
– right?
Yeah, it's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me and you, even if it's a bad Super Bowl game, we still love it because we love the game so much. So.
Right.
But, yeah, it's – okay, so you're taking Chiefs-Saints and I'm taking Chiefs-Rams. Is that what
– I think – yeah, that's the final word.
What's going on? Okay, so – I'm hoping for another rematch from that Monday night, should have been in Mexico, but was in L.A. game, which was arguably the greatest football game I've seen in a long time. Entertaining football games. I wouldn't call it good in the fact of, like, fundamentals and
right.
and sound defense and stuff like that, but it was a entertaining game.
Yeah, that's the perfect word for it.
So, great. Anything else on that, or should we move on?
Go Chiefs. That's my last word.
Okay, perfect. There you go. You heard it from the coach. Well, we're going to move on to, you know, we haven't done a top five segment in a while. We like doing these. It's a little fun, breaking down, self-explanatory, top five is something.
Yeah.
But this one, we're going to do these are our favorite shows growing up. So our top five shows, we basically did from the time we were born until high school. It's kind of the time frame we were going for. Yeah, we break them down five through one. Order does matter. So.
Sure does.
We, you know, if you haven't heard the show before, we order matters. We go five through one, and this isn't just a list of five. So, I'm gonna let you lead, Coach.
Okay.
Your number five favorite show growing up.
My number five, I gotta go Rugrats.
Okay.
Pure classic. I'm not really sure when it started. I think it was the early '90s. I don't really know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that show was on forever. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, one of my favorites. You know, Tommy Pickles and Chucky and Phil and Lil and Angelica. Yeah, man, you grew up with them. And the show idea was so good with the babies, and they're the main characters, and they're still babies, but they have their own little world. And, you know, anybody our age knows that show, and they love that show. And it's really hard to put into words and explain what that show meant to me growing up. You know, it was one of those shows where you came home after school and it was just on. You know, Nickelodeon, and the theme song and the theme animation and you know the intro is so iconic. And they had the little spinoff later on, All Grown Up. I don't know if you remember that one or not.
I do. I didn't watch it, but I don't remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, it didn't take off, but you know the Rugrats movies, Rugrats in Paris, you know. And they actually had good character development, obviously with Chucky and the loss of his mother, and you know, single dad raising him, and then you had the stepsister who came in, Kimmy.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for being an animated show for young kids, the fact that it was actually a well written show and it had actual character development and the relationship between Tommy and his grandpa. You know, it really, and they actually added characters throughout the show. You don't see that a lot in cartoons. Mm-hmm. You know, they had another son, Dill Pickle. I mean, how can you beat that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rugrats, man. As a kid, it really hits home just because it's a cartoon and it's about babies. And then when you get older, you realize just kind of how good of a show it was.
You know, I'd be curious to, because I haven't watched that show in years, go back and watch it now and see how, like, adultified it is. Because, I mean, obviously these are babies that are basically, like, adults. I mean, yes, they're still, like, they have parents or whatever, but the parents are, like, the sub-characters, and the babies kind of run the show and act like adults. Like, they're maybe dealing with, like, how they're going to have, some of the episodes were how they're going to fortify their sandbox or something, but they're approaching it like a Game of Thrones episode almost. Like, okay, how do we like escape the family room? We're in this like pen, this baby pen.
Yep.
The dog, what was the dog's name? The dog Spike is like kind of like guarding the area. We have to get out the screen door. We have to get through the grass with like has like other animals and like sprinklers, and we have to somehow get to that sandbox. And they approach like almost like a Game of Thrones like fortification, like Jamie Lannister. It's kind of, you know, kind of fun. Maybe that should be a new spinoff of Game of Thrones Rugrats.
I like it. Why not?
Nickelodeon, what up?
Let's do it.
Coaching the Don.
Get in contact.
I like it. So okay, my fifth. You probably have. If you've heard of this, I'll be impressed. It was only on one season, and I bet not a lot of people have heard of it. It was on PBS. It's called Kratz Creatures.
Nope, never heard of it.
Okay. So this was basically like the Crocodile Hunter before the Crocodile – well, I mean, I guess the original Crocodile Hunter was Crocodile Dundee, but a similar show. It was on PBS. It was two brothers, Chris and Martin Kratz Creatures, and essentially they would go find these animals, and, you know, it was a – you know, educational show, but it was fun. I mean, let me just read you the description here on IMDb.
Yeah.
It explains it perfectly.
Okay.
Chris and Martin Kratz explore a variety of different animals, habitats, and lifestyles each week, with help from Allison and her computer, and Tark, an animated dinosaur. It's a lot of fun. You know, it was like it was real-life education. There were literally, like, I remember them being, like, in the jungle, in the safari, like, seeing rhinos and seeing like giraffes, and then being like in the jungle with like snakes, and being like, they would go to these habitats and like have like a film crew. And yes, it wasn't as like arduous as like what the Crocodile Hunter did, like where he's tackling crocodiles or anything like that. But it was still like they were in actual nature.
But they were real people.
Real people. So okay. it wasn't an animated show.
Okay.
Yes, there was like the fun animated dinosaur. I guess it was one of the narrators. I don't even remember that. It was so long ago. It was one season in '96. So long time ago. But this is how much I liked the show. Is I got a book for a gift once. Up there, and it wasn't a coloring book, but it was like a picture book with like them and like some of the animals and some of the safaris they went on. And they came to, it was either Denver Tech Center or it was some hotel in Denver to do like a book signing. Nice. This is me being like 6-7 years old, and we drove down to Denver to meet the Kratz brothers, and I got their autograph in this book, and I think I bought like a stuffed animal and got a picture with them. And yeah, so it was like, not only did I love the show, but it's meaningful, and I got to meet the main character on the show. It's pretty cool.
That is very cool. I like that. I like that story.
It was good. So,
I like that.
Kratz Creatures.
Kratz Creatures.
Look it up. Kratts.
Kratts.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Wow. And what did you said it was on PBS?
PBS is what it aired on. Yes.
Wow. One season. Good memory. It must have had an impact.
It had an impact. I'm kind of sad it didn't have more than one season, but.
Are we going serpentine? Are we going snake? What? How are we doing this?
Let's go back and forth.
Okay, cool. So my number four, I highly doubt you have this on here. I'm a little embarrassed that I have it on here, to be honest with you.
Embarrassed? Okay.
A little bit. But we're honest. We're always upfront and personal.
That's right.
On the show.
Honesty is key.
Lizzie McGuire.
Nope. Don't be embarrassed. I have it, and then I crossed it off just because I had thought of a better one. But I had it on there.
Yeah.
Loved some Lizzie McGuire.
Right? Yeah. I mean, not only did I have a little bit of a crush on Hilary Duff back in the day.
Who didn't?
Right? Yeah. I mean, she was the thing back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lizzie McGuire, I loved the little cartoon of her, you know, her, I don't know if it was her conscious.
Her,
I don't really remember.
Subconscious, essentially, yeah.
You know, kind of narrate situations, and the best friend, I don't remember the name, but
Gordo.
Gordo, thank you.
Yeah, Eric Gordon, I believe, was his real
name. Yeah, there you go. Had a crush on her, but never, I don't think they ever really even got together.
I feel like the show ended, like, without that ever being concluded. Like,
yeah.
What came of that?
Which, in all reality, is kind of more realistic.
Yeah.
You know, which I appreciate. I don't know if that was their plan or if they just went off the air before they could.
Yeah, you know. Like, oh, they're grown up and we have to move on.
Yeah. And then, you know,
younger brother, Matt.
The younger, the annoying little, which was probably the one I should have related with. But yeah, the fact that, you know, when it was out, we were in junior high and then high school, and that show is about someone going through high school and they're growing, no pun, but growing pains of high school. It really spoke volumes. And she had a big crush on the hot, dumb jock, and she was always so awkward around him.
Ethan Kraft.
Ethan Kraft.
Yeah, I know all the names.
Dang.
Don't say you're embarrassed having your list, because I can give you the entire IMDb.
This should be
IMDb.
Take it away. What? Why am I talking about it?
I'm just filling in.
But yeah, Lizzie McGuire, man, it probably shouldn't have had that big of an impact on my life. It was a female lead, and probably had spoke more to females. But
resonate or relate?
Yeah, I related. Thank you. I related with Gordo, and you know, having a crush on that, the kind of the it girl that, you know, wants just a nice guy, but you're the nice guy, shouldn't, you know?
Yeah, but you're best friends, but you can't.
Yeah,
think about
so
it.
You can't really cross that line. If you do, you may lose a friendship. So
yeah,
that show, you know, I always, if ever I saw it on, I was like, you know, I'm gonna watch that. And I never did watch the Lizzie McGuire movie. That's one thing I never did.
You missed out.
Did I?
It's a great movie.
I'll just check it out.
You were singing the song earlier.
Was I?
This is what dreams are made of.
That is true. I was singing that.
That's from the movie. So
maybe I have seen it. I just don't remember.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, if you haven't seen the movie, it's, Lizzie McGuire goes to Rome, Italy.
Mm. I had in my head it was London.
No, Rome. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's Paolo.
You would write. Yeah. Shoot, you've been...
Yeah, you know.
I mean, dropping names and just, you know.
Yeah, no, I think the best thing about Liz McGuire, and this is exactly segues into who I have at four, who I had Liz McGuire, and then I switched it out for my four, because they're both, I feel like, even keel. They were the same time period. But what resonated with me was it was because it started when we were in junior high going into high school and they were in high school, it was kind of like that, oh, this is what I have to look forward to. Like, this is,
sure.
I'm like getting there. Like, I'm not quite there yet. I'm a little younger. And you know, when you're younger, you always look up to the older.
Of course.
The older kids of high school, you want to be like them. You want to be cool. And so these shows were those just a couple years ahead of you. You're like, okay, so this is what's going to happen. This is what I have to do. It's almost like a tutorial on like life in the future, but it's, you know, it's a fun Disney Channel way. So my four, Even Stevens.
They are on my list.
Yeah, relatable. You know, you got Shia LaBeouf, who, why am I drawing a blank on his first name?
That is, oh, on the show?
On the show.
Oh, my God. His sister was Ren.
Ren, I know. Ren Stevens was his sister. Well, anyway, not important.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah.
If you think about it. But so, you know, that's how Shia LaBeouf really kind of came into his own as an actor. I mean, he was just kind of goofball character that can never kind of do the right thing. He's kind of a screw up, but hilarious. I mean, the show's just so funny. And Ren was kind of the overachiever, big sister that was like kind of goody two shoes, but she was too good, but not quite good enough. Like, so she was good enough where she was so good in school and such a good student, but she couldn't quite, you know, have the friends that she wanted, or, you know, she was almost jealous of Shia LaBeouf for, you know, his carelessness and his freeness and just kind of how he didn't really care about his future, and she was tied down to her studies and always trying to be number one in her class and the best that she could. And then you had Shia LaBeouf that just, you know, didn't give a crap, had a ton of fun. You had Beans in the show. Oh, Beans. That's where Beans was born. The dad was like a scientist or something, and they had a lot of – it was just a lot – fun, wacky show that it had a few serious moments, but not a ton. It was more just a lot of fun.
Yeah. And Lewis.
Lewis Stevens. Lewis. Thank you.
Lewis Stevens.
Thank you.
I
wouldn't have gotten there. That was not on my radar.
What made me think of it was I was trying to think of Ren when she yelled at his name whenever she was annoyed. It was Lewis. He was definitely that. Everybody had a friend that was like Lewis.
Yeah.
The kind of the kid that just didn't care. He, you know, you kind of feel like he was a smelly kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, he looked like he smelled in the show.
Yeah, he always tried to come. the my favorite scene probably in that entire show was when he created that, well, some sort of recliner.
Oh, yeah. Like the ultimate lazy boy.
Yeah. And it like turned on him, and like that scene of him and Tawny like running away. Yeah. But anyway, definitely a good show. I have it on my list at two. But there's not really much to say about it that you didn't say. It's such an iconic show for Disney, and Shia LaBeouf, and He's really the only one that kind of came out of that.
Beans had a few other roles, but,
yeah, but
basically played the exact same role he played.
I was going to say,
show.
Unfortunately, that kid's kind of typecast. but yeah, definitely a good show, man. Shia LaBeouf, Lewis, and Ren, and the older brother who's the jock. And
Yeah,
great show.
Yeah, it makes you laugh how he has the same character that the entire show, and his parents just never just say, Lewis! Like, they get angry, but it's like, they don't do anything. Like, he just continually makes these huge blunders, and that's what makes it funny.
Exactly. What was the best friend's name again?
I can picture him.
Lewis and Tawny, and then there's the good-looking jock kid.
I want to say, Kit, but that's not it.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
All right, so my number three, and I know I've talked about this on another list at some point. I'm sure I've had it on my top five shows of all time, but I grew up with it in a way, and you did too, and I don't know if you actually watched it when it was on, but The Office came out in like 2005, I believe, was the first season, which would have been our freshman year of high school. Sidebar, I forget. What year did you graduate?
High school?
Yeah.
2008.
Okay, so you graduated a year before me, but we're very close in age.
Yeah.
So yeah, it came out, you know, when we were in high school, and I remember the first time I ever watched that show, it was like their second season, and my older brother Tyler at the time, my mom and I lived in a duplex, and Tyler and his family lived in the very next duplex, so we shared essentially the same house, but we had like different apartments or whatever, however you want to explain a duplex. But he said, hey, have you seen this show with Steve Carell? It's called The Office. Have you seen that? I said, no, I have no idea what it is. So I checked it out and instantly fell in love. One of the greatest shows of all time.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those shows to where not a lot of my friends liked it just because it wasn't immature humor. It wasn't like high school humor, you know, what typical high school students laugh at.
Like Even Stevens.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't an Even Stevens. It wasn't a Lizzie McGuire. It wasn't something I could relate to, but I just found it extremely hilarious. And it was kind of a, like you alluded to earlier, where you looked forward to high school. It made the real world to me seem not so bad, you know.
Which is hilarious because they live the most mundane, boring work life at Dunder Muffler. Like, it just looks like excruciatingly boring, but because of how they like interact, it makes it seem less excruciating.
Exactly. You know, when I was in high school and playing football and stuff, like, obviously, ideally, I was going to play football in college. I knew I was never going to go pro, but, you know, I didn't happen to play football in college, but, you know, when you're that age and you, all you want to do is play football, you have that in the back of your mind. What am I going to do if I don't, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought, God, the real world must just be terrible. but watching the show and watching these roles in this just completely boring. I mean, they sell paper.
Yeah.
A paper salesman. That's got to be the most boring job out there. But yet they still have these interesting lives that you can buy into. And they have these characters, these bosses. And it's like, man, if this is what it almost gave me, like, it sounds so stupid to say now. But at the time, it's like, you know, life won't be that bad. You know, you can find joy and you can find pleasure. Even if you have the most boring job out there, even if you're a paper salesman, you could have a great life, and you can find love, and you can find friendship, and you can find meaning. So at the time, you know, when I was playing football and stuff like that, you know, that show kind of gave me that hope, you know, something to look forward to. Like, yeah, at some point my football career will end.
See, and this is the beauty of just human nature or human thought, if you will. The fact that we can all come to our own conclusions and come up with their own processes in how to come to a finished product. So that I totally understand what you're saying, and I can totally see what you're saying and find it relatable and understand how as a high school kid that would what bring you joy. When I watch The Office, I find joy in it because I'm like, thank God my life is not that boring. I'm the opposite. I'm like, I watch The Office and I'm like, wow, that looks miserable. And they make it humorous, but it's humorous because to me, when I'm watching it, my my internal what I'm processing is, it's funny because it's so damn horrible, and thank God my life is not what they're doing.
And I can see that end of it too. I really can.
Yeah, that's the beauty of human process.
It is.
So, yeah. Well, good. I mean, The Office is a timeless classic. So,
yeah,
you could
there, yeah.
say whatever you want about it, and you're not going to be wrong.
Very true. Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, good stuff. So, my number three. I hope you remember the show. So, I'm going to go back even farther to more my kind of elementary days.
Okay.
Another PBS show, animated. He was an aardvark.
Oh, okay.
Arthur?
Yeah, yeah. What's funny is I actually, my number five, I had Arthur / Rugrats, and I have it written down right here if you don't believe me. But at the very last minute, I thought, I'll just go Rugrats. Okay. I'm not going to split into two.
Okay.
But yeah, I loved Arthur, man.
Arthur.
Every day after kindergarten.
Yep. Arthur was great. You know, he was a, I don't even know how to really, it's been a long time since I've seen it, I'll be honest with you, but, you know, Aardvark, his best friend was a, so the whole show, they're
Buster
animals.
Bunny, right?
Yeah, Buster was his best friend, the bunny. They had, Muffy was a dog.
Yep.
The big kind of bully, but at the same time he wasn't, I think he was a dog also, if I remember.
Yeah, he was a white bulldog?
So, yeah, he was a bulldog, yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, you know, just, it was a normal, you know, as a kid our age, as you can tell, a lot of these relatable are people like kind of our age.
Mm-hmm.
So Arthur was, you know, they were in elementary school, just, you know, your everyday life challenges. His sister was a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. What was her name?
I wouldn't be able to remember.
It was like JD or D.
Oh, it was initials. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, she was an absolute nightmare. Just looks like a disaster to be related to, and he had to deal with that. And he was just, you know, he was a good kid. He wore a freaking sweater and a polo to class every single day. Yeah, just a good show.
DW.
There you go.
DW.
Oh man, that, you know, this isn't on my list. I'm not gonna say it just in case it is on yours. So I'll say it afterwards. But
okay.
Another show that's reminded me of having a nightmarish sibling in our childhood. But yeah, I loved Arthur so much. I think I looked forward to it. Every day. It was always on PBS. I don't want to say it because I don't know if it's on your list or not, but there was two shows always back-to-back that I loved watching, and it was this other one, and then it was Arthur. But Arthur was always like the climax, like the one I was looking forward to most, but this was a good precursor, a good, you know, polish the wheels beforehand.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, anyway. Arthur. I'm glad you mentioned it because you know, the fact that I didn't, it should be on these lists.
It's good.
Yeah.
Everyone knows Arthur.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's great. I feel like everyone, especially, and then we'll move on, sorry, but I feel like, so I watched Arthur, you know, like I said, elementary school, and I think I watched it like into middle school because I still liked it. And I think a lot of people did too, but no one would say it. No one's like, yeah, I still watch Arthur. Because,
right.
You know, you're in middle school, you're moving on to,
you're
like,
not going
to
admit that.
Yeah, you're moving on to like The Office or watching like Die Hard with your dad or Indiana Jones. You're not going to say you still freaking watch Arthur from 3 to 3:30 after you get home from school. So,
yeah.
But I did, and I think a lot of people did too.
I'm sure they did, yeah. So my number two, we've talked about already, Even Stevens. So I don't know if you want me to come up with an alternate or go into my number one.
You could throw – I'm sure you have another one you can throw in there. Not necessarily your number two. This will be a six.
Okay. So
one we haven't said.
So one, it's kind of a, knowing as an adult now that it was probably a spinoff of Roseanne and the Conners, Dinosaurs. Do you remember that show?
I do.
They had the dad who always wore the flannel.
Yep.
You know, he took the lunch pail to work. You had the housewife. You had the little baby who was probably an accident. I don't know if they ever really said that.
Was that baby like always in an egg or something? Like something weird like that?
No.
Or am I thinking maybe just the introduction?
I think you're thinking of the introduction, okay. Yeah. Because I always remember him in a high chair.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you remember what network that aired on?
Oh, my gosh. I don't. NBC, maybe?
Yeah, it had to be one of those CBS, NBC, ABC.
Yeah.
So.
And then you had the two teenage kids, the son who was, I think he always had a letter jacket on, and then the daughter who was, you know, obsessed with teen boys or whatever. And I don't remember how many seasons it was on. I don't remember the actual episodes, but I just remember being a kid and watching that show, and I don't remember, I must not have understood what was going on, but I liked it. I liked that show.
Yeah.
And like I said, being an adult now looking back, I feel like it was probably a play on Roseanne with the, you know, the blue collar dad and the stay at home mom and the kids and stuff like that. But yeah, we really need to do some research and see if that show is like available to stream anywhere, or if the DVDs are available, because
that's a great question. It's
one of those cult classic shows to where I feel like you've either never heard of it or you know everything about that show. I truly did enjoy watching that show, and I don't know why. I don't know if maybe one of my older brothers watched it or maybe one of my parents watched it, but surely I wouldn't have just – I don't think it was a kid show. Maybe it was. Maybe it was, you know, geared toward kids, and I'm just misremembering, but, you know, I don't really recall.
So it had four seasons from 91 to 94 on ABC.
ABC, okay.
Yeah.
See, we were really young back then.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was Walt Disney, Buena Vista International distributed it. I mean, it was legit. Had some good voices in there. I mean, it was four seasons, so it was Michael Jacobs was the executive producer.
That's a big name.
Yeah, that's a big name. So it was like it wasn't animated, but it was like puppets almost.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know how to live action. I guess. Yeah, like it was, I mean, they were. Yeah, like, well, it wasn't animated.
I mean, put it this way: it was basically modern. Modern animation. So nowadays we have, you know, The Lion King that's coming out. Mm-hmm. We just had Mowgli come out on Netflix, which is like a real life, but they're animals, but they're real life.
Would it be fair animation? To call it, would it be fair to call it animatronics?
Yeah, to an extent, yeah. And that's how this was that, just obviously 27 years ago, the technology is way worse. Whereas now, right. I watched Mowgli last night, and, you know, the Black Panther looks like a freaking real life jungle cat in my living room. Whereas this dinosaur does not at all.
Right.
Looks like Barney, but you know.
God, we got to go back and watch that show.
Yeah.
It had to, I mean, it left some sort of impact, so it must have done something.
Dinosaurs. I like
dinosaurs.
It.
Dinosaurs. Yeah, that's my.
It's a good throw-in.
Thank you.
It's a good throw-in. So my two. I mentioned this on another episode we did. I think it was just one of my top five favorite shows. So obviously I had to include it in my top five shows growing up because that's when I watched it. But Rocket Power on Nickelodeon.
Sure.
It was, for me, so relatable just because they were, you know, they were in sports, did every kind of sport possible, all the cool stuff, you know, surfing, skating, hockey, I don't even know how, just, they had so much fun, and it was like, as a kid, same thing, that same age group when we were watching, I think it was on Nickelodeon when we were in, like, middle school, so it's, you know, obviously you want to be a, your dream is to be a professional athlete and something, or get paid to do sports, or not get paid, but just do sports forever. Just go outside and skate and go outside and, you know, you watch some stuff that, you know, Otto and Twister and Sam the Stonewall, Squin Dullard would do. And, you know, you just want to go do it. You know, Reggie and Reggie's zine, Reggie's magazine. That's what made me want to be kind of a writer a little bit, like a little jealousy there that she had her own magazine with her friends.
Sure.
Cool stuff. I mean, everything that did was cool. Otto was kind of, so we had me and my group of friends, we were all guys. We didn't really have a girl. We just kind of like made someone play Reggie. But like I was always Otto. I had my one buddy who was Twister, and I had my one buddy who was Sam. And then we just kind of designated like the Rover, who was like the lesser friend, as Reggie. So you know it was kind of cool that I was Otto, like the, you know, the badass of the group, the one that was the best athlete. But he was also like the leader of the pack. So I kind of took that on myself to be like, you know, I need to, you know, lead these guys the right way. Kind of like Brink Breaker in the movie Brink a little bit.
Oh, I loved Brink.
Brink was great.
Oh, man,
but
I loved Brink.
That same kind of role, I kind of put that burden on my own shoulders.
Nice. You took the brunt of it.
You know, I'm just, you know, hyping myself up here. But, yeah, I took that burden for my friends to be the leader and to be the best.
It's very noble of you.
Yeah. So you can blame Otto Graham and Rocket Power for that.
Otto Graham.
Yeah.
Man.
I love his name, Otto Graham, and now being older, that was like the leader of the Byzantine Empire back in like before World War I.
Otto Graham. I thought he was a quarterback.
Otto Graham was also a quarterback. You're right.
See, I
played for the Browns.
I can't vouch for the whole history thing.
But. Yeah, I think. Now I'm feeling dumb, but I'm like, am I misplaying? I'm pretty sure he was like the emperor of like the Byzantine Empire. I don't know.
I have no idea.
This is a sports podcast, not a history podcast. So if anyone listening wants to freaking call me out, please do. Please do. Comment, message us, whatever you want to do.
I like it.
I'm going to stand by it for now, though. We don't have a producer or anything. We're just doing this on the fly. So.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We have one in the works.
We do. We do have one in the works. More on that. Yeah. So we're on to your one.
My number one, it's got to be Smart Guy.
He's a smart guy. Smart guy. Taj Mowry.
Taj Mowry, man. Yeah, I mean, it was I believe it was Disney. I don't think it was Nickelodeon. But it was about this young kid, probably 10 or 11 years old, who is super advanced, and he gets put into his older brother's high school class, you know, so they're in high school together, but there's like 7-8 years difference. And his brother's kind of a, not that he's dumb, but he's a typical high school student that is more worried about sports and girls than he is his homework. Mm-hmm. Then you have this little kid, super genius, who gets advanced 6 or 7 grades, and, you know, it's such a cool dynamic, and it's a single father, and I can't recall if the mother just left or if she died, I don't recall, but they have a sister, and then they have the brother, and then they have the brother's best friend, Mo. Mo is one of my favorite characters of the show.
Yeah.
It was such a, and one thing I remember so much was the external shot of the house, and I always thought their house was so cool. But yeah, and being a little kid with two older brothers, quite a few years older than me, I always kind of thought, you know, that would be kind of cool to be in their class and see them every day, go to high school with them.
I'm sure they would have loved that.
Oh, exactly, right? Yeah, yeah. That was their dream too.
Mm-hmm.
But exactly, that's the older brother hated it. He absolutely hated that his brother was in the same high school, but yet he was there to look out for him, which is very relatable. You know, I had my older brothers that were there to look out for me if I needed it, but yet, if anybody beat me up, it was going to be them. So, and one of my favorite lines from that show, I don't know why this line sticks out to me. I think because when I first heard it, it didn't make sense to me. But now being older, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. So they were taking a test, and they were talking during the test, or Mo had said something to get him in trouble, and the teacher said, well, you know what, I'll grade yours first. And Mo got all mad because somehow it was TJ's fault, you know, the little kid.
Yeah.
And TJ said, well, you know, think of it this way, Mo, for a few seconds, you'll have the best grade in class. and you know, when I was younger, I thought, I don't get it. So it made me think. So
I remember that episode too.
And for some reason, I think that's what intrigued me about the show. It made me think. It made me think like an older person.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was geared toward my age group, it made me think, you know, outside of the box and kind of think of conceptual things. And it kind of helped me grow, you know, mentally, as weird and or maybe dumb as that sounds. But yeah, I really, really enjoy that show, and I miss it. Wasn't on very long, I don't believe it.
Two seasons.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah, I would have thought more, to be honest.
But I thought I would have guessed 5.
Yeah.
Because I, being, you know, young, I felt like it was on forever.
Right. Well, and then they just played the replays over and over again on Disney Channel. So.
And there was also an episode. I think it was Smart Guy. God, I hope it was. Now that I think about it, that's when I first learned about Lizzie Borden. There was the brother did, there was something to where he had done a girl wrong in high school. He had
mm-hmm.
I don't know if he cheated on her, broke up with her in a weird way or whatever.
Yeah.
But then her and the sister teamed up to like scare Mo and the brother and the little TJ. And, it was based off of Lizzie Borden and they were wearing these pig masks and they were,
yeah,
you know, saying the saying, you know, Lizzie Borden, something, killer father with, or I don't remember the riddle or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, once she saw what she had done, gave her mother 41 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty good.
Nice. So, you know, not only was it an intriguing show because I could relate to it being a younger brother, but it did teach me a lot. You know, it gave me some adult concepts that I had to actually sit there and think about to really understand. Yeah, smart guy. I kind of miss it. I'm not sure what Taj Mowry's up to now. I know his sisters are kind of doing their own thing, but yeah, smart guy. My number one. Yeah.
What is Taj Mowry like? 35 now? 40?
Probably. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm curious. It can't be that much older. He's probably like,
I was gonna say he might. He's probably around our age.
Yeah, probably right. Like low 30s. Low 30s, but
he's 32. Yeah.
32. There you go. Yeah, smart. I love smart guy. Wasn't on my list, but I enjoyed smart guy. My number one, this was a no-brainer for me. Kind of offended you didn't even have it on your list, but Boy Meets World.
Yeah. I always found it too cheesy for my liking. But I definitely, having said that, I own the first two seasons on DVD, but, you know.
Yeah. You thought 1v12 was too cheesy.
For me, a little bit. A little bit too cheesy, a little bit too...
Okay.
You know.
I mean, I could see that, I guess. But yeah, no, I loved it. You know, it's the two best friends. They have the kind of wacky brother. I mean, it's. I feel like every sitcom in the 90s was very similar. A lot of similarities in all these sitcoms.
After going through these lists, yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm like, I keep trying to explain them. I'm like, I feel like I'm just saying the same damn sitcom over and over again. It's like a white family. Well, at least Smart Guy wasn't a white family, but
there you go.
White family that, you know, they have the son, they have a daughter, the someone's dumb, someone's smart, someone's funny, someone's not. They go through the thing, they meet a girlfriend, and, you know, they just go through their life. But no, Boy Meets World does such a good job of really relating to everyday life scenarios. I feel like I say this a lot, but it's like, you know, relatable things. That's kind of what I found on my list. Like with Rock Power, is the sports and being like the kind of badass sports guy. With Boy Meets World, it was just like, you know, being the kid. He was just the kid that, you know, had his best friend. He had the girl he liked. Didn't know he liked her, but then find out later he thought she was a freak. But then found out later she was a soulmate. The older brother had his own struggles, but he was kind of the funny guy. He started off, you know, what I love too about Boy Meets World was just the progression of the entire show. Mm. So you have the first couple seasons that are, you know, there's some meat to them, but it's more just funny, like really, really funny. Mm. And you get to the later seasons when they get to college and there's a lot more like depth to the characters. You know, you see Eric, who throughout the whole show was kind of the funny, just the guy that chased girls and didn't really have a lot of depth to him. But then in the later shows, you see that, you know, he has feelings. He has some smarts to him. Like, he has a future that he wants to build, and he feels lost, kind of. And then it's Sean, who has the same thing, who, you know, he didn't have, like, a real good father figure, real good life figure, and he kind of found, you know, Eric Matthews' dad as his, like, somewhat father role. But at the same time, you can never be that because he doesn't fill the void that he's lacking from his own dad. And just going through those dynamics, then you have Corey and Topanga and their marriage and what they struggle as being a young married couple and having a brother like Eric and a friend like Sean. And then Sean has a girl. You know, just so many storylines. And
you're missing the glue, man. Probably the most important character.
Feeny.
Mr. Feeny.
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 Feeny. Oh, yeah. And just having the old-time teacher as your neighbor that just – you hate in class, but you love outside of class because somehow he just gives you that mashugana you need to get through life. It's a great show. I love it.
Yeah. You know, it is a good show. It really is.
You know, when we were in college, because they probably still – I mean, nowadays, this was before all the streaming services when I was in college and when you were in college. They were – you know, Netflix had just started as a company, and it was just – it was the DVD service.
The mail order, yeah.
Yeah, you have a queue and you order.
Yeah. It was three at a time.
At first it was one at a time, and then, yes, it upgraded to three. But I remember it was the most badass thing. Like, you have a queue of, like, you know, 20 movies. You mm-hmm. pick the 20, and then you just get one, send it back. And we thought that was cool, and now it's like our kids are going to laugh at us with all these streaming services. You never have to freaking leave the house. Like, what's a postage stamp? They're going to be like, what's mail? But anyway, so we were looking for Boy Meets World because there was no like really on demand, if you will. And, you know, we weren't just going to watch Disney Channel 24 hours and wait till it came on.
Yeah.
And so we found this like bootlegged box set on Amazon that someone freaking ripped off their internet and like made DVDs. And we bought all seven seasons for, I think it was like $25. I think season six and five like don't work that well because it's like super bootlegged, but we had all seven seasons through college. It was great. We loved it. Boy Meets World. Childhood favorite.
Man.
Still love it. I'm embarrassed to say, but the new one that came out, Girl Meets World, I have not watched yet.
I'm trying to think. I may have watched like an episode or two just to see what it was like. But
when I saw it was coming, I was like, I have to watch that just because of how much Boy Meets World meant to me.
Sure.
But I haven't yet.
It's got a very new age Disney feel,
okay,
if you will.
Yeah.
It's got a very Hannah Montana feel to it.
Nah.
You know,
don't love that.
You know, Boy Meets World was, if I remember, it was on an actual network. It wasn't a Disney original.
Yeah, it was on ABC.
Yeah, so definitely has that Disney. You can tell it's a Disney show. Can tell it's kind of this.
A little lower budget, maybe.
Yeah, and the storylines are not. Yeah, Boy Meets World is definitely better than Girl Meets World, which hence is why Girl Meets World probably didn't last.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it has more than one season. I haven't looked into it. I haven't watched it, but
yeah.
Same with like Fuller House that came out.
Yeah, just don't get your hopes up. That's all I'm saying. That's all.
Okay, fair enough. But Boy Meets World, I love it. The only other ones I would have mentioned, Magic School Bus.
Oh, what was her name? The teacher. Mrs.
What was her name?
Oh my God. Mrs. Something. She had a crazy name.
Yeah. Well, you're looking up. It was the show I was going to mention that it was always on right before Arthur.
Mrs. Fritz?
It was
Frizzle. Frizzle. Yeah, Miss Frizzle.
Something. Yeah.
Yep, Miss Frizzle.
Miss Frizzle. How cool is that, though? Like, yeah. We'll just field trip to the freaking moon.
Right?
Remember the episode they field trip to Pluto and one of the characters got, like, frozen?
Kind of.
Talk about a field trip gone wrong. One of your students gets frozen on the planet of Pluto, which isn't even a planet anymore, by the way. There's only eight planets now in the solar system.
This is true. That's
Pluto
a great
is now,
point.
What, like a moon? So,
I don't know what it technically
is. So she lost a student on a non-planet.
She's fired in 2019.
Yeah, frizzled is fizzled out, if you
Beautiful.
Will. Yeah, you Thank like you. That?
Do you remember The Jersey?
I do remember The Jersey.
That was one. I loved that show.
Yeah.
I loved that show.
The Jersey was good.
It was one of the first times I really sparked my interest in sports.
Yeah.
You know?
I forgot about The Jersey. That was good.
Yeah, I remember one of the episodes they went back to Super Bowl I, Chiefs-Packers, and I remember one episode they actually – it was WCW, which is not what I watched when I grew up. I grew up watching WWF, now WWE.
Yeah.
But they had a professional wrestling episode. Like, Jersey was a good show, too.
Yeah, that was a good one. Do you remember Wishbone?
The dog with the spot. Yeah. Wishbone, yeah.
Wishbone, where he like went back through like took on a real reader's approach. They were trying to get kids to read, and they'd take these books, and the dog would go like back in a time and play like Don Quixote or, you know, all these characters.
Yeah, I never really got into it, but I do remember Wishbone.
Yeah, Wishbone was good. A lot of the shows I got into just because it was like one I really liked, but they had like back to back to back, so it's like you watch like it was like Bill Nye the Science Guy, Kratz Creatures, and then Wishbone. Like, okay, I like Cross Creatures, but like, I'll watch the other two.
Yeah. Man, it's fun to reminisce like
that. Yeah, good stuff. So.
Good stuff,
man. You know, there's – I don't know what kids are watching these days. I mean, I don't have a kid yet, so we'll find out.
Yeah,
my kid's just going to be watching, like, NFL, and that's all he's watching.
I was going to say, I don't know if my kid will watch kid shows.
Yeah, I don't know.
By the time he's in high school, he'll be a football genius.
Yeah. I don't know what kid shows are out there.
I
don't have cable. I just stream everything.
I've heard of Backyardigans. I think that might be something.
Backyardigans?
Yeah. And then there's something else. Is Dora the Explorer still on?
Yeah, I don't want my kid watching it.
I feel like that was a thing.
Swiper no swiping? I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Well, there you have it.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. We're not there yet. So, but we're going to move on to... you know, we're going to tease a new thing we're going to start doing here at the Coach and the Don. You know, we have our normal podcast that we do. We're going to keep doing that every Friday night for you to listen to on Saturdays. But we're also going to add a second podcast every week that we're going to dedicate strictly to the NFL draft. You know, we're getting into the NFL draft season. I know we still have 2 weeks left of the NFL season, and free agency looms after that. But, you know, the draft season basically starts January 1st. I mean, essentially it starts August
during bowl season,
8th,
really.
Or whatever, whenever the college football season starts.
Very true, yeah.
Start prepping then. But when fans really get into it is this time of year. And so, you know, we're extremely excited about the draft content that we're going to produce at Sports Al Dente. Obviously, it's going to be mostly dedicated towards the West Coast players. But here on the podcast, we're going to get into other stuff. You know, Talon just released his first mock draft. If you have not seen that yet, go check that out. Does a great job mock draft in the first round. He'll be doing those pretty regularly, and then we're gonna have our player profiles. But yeah, we're gonna do a weekly podcast every Wednesday, dedicated just to the draft. So if you're a draft head, if you love the NFL draft, this is your spot right here, Coach and the Don Wednesdays. Tune in, and you'll get everything you need to know. Send us stuff if you want us certain players to break down or certain stuff to talk about. But we're gonna give you a little teaser right now about what we can talk about here in just the next few days. We have a guest coming on, big draft guy, a lot of draft knowledge. Excited to have him on and really start breaking stuff down. But we're just going to real quickly break down, you know, the eight teams we cover. Like I mentioned, the draft is not going to be limited to these eight teams. But just for the sake of, you know, this teaser, we're going to break down these eight teams and kind of what their draft needs are. And then that next week when we actually do the podcast, we will go into the players that can fill those needs. So, Tal, I'll let you start with the Rams. No particular reason, just because I have them written down first.
Funnily enough, that's who I've written down too.
I think that's why I wrote it, because I heard you say them, and then I just was following suit.
Gotcha.
I have Rams, Cards, Seahawks, Niners. Is that who you had?
Rams, Cards, Seahawks, Niners.
I think I heard you say them subconsciously. And
gotcha. Okay. So the Rams, I have two listed. I have corner, which may surprise some people, but I also have an edge defender, a pass rusher. We'll
get on the same page.
Yeah, we'll get into it deeper, but I mean, Aaron Donald led the league, I believe, in sacks, yeah, with 20 and a half. But
no offense to Mahomes, but he should be the MVP. Mm. He won't, but
yeah, that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah,
Donald definitely one of the best players in the league. But yeah, when your defensive tackle is leading, granted, he led the league. So, but you still need someone coming off the edge in a 3-4. And then cornerback, you know, Tlaib and Peters.
It's
a whole other ballgame. So we can, like I said, this is, you know, Ryan alluded to it, strictly teaser, so we don't want to get too in-depth analysis here. You'll have to tune in on Wednesdays to hear that. But, yeah, cornerback and edge for me.
Yeah, and I'll just mention, because I have the same one, I also have safety. Corner, really, just because, you know, Tlaib's up in age. Peters, who knows if you want to keep him. I believe Troy Hill is also on, going to be a free agent next year, who's like their third or fourth guy. Edge, they need an edge rusher. Dante Fowler is going to be a free agent next year. So yep, who knows if he'll be back. A lot of this will be solved, obviously, come free agency. Safety, same thing. LaMarcus Joyner is going to be a free agent. So most of these needs are based on what they do in free agency, but those are guys that they obviously need to fill those spots if they do not re-sign them. Right. Yes, so I have the same thing. Cornerback, edge, safety. Moving on to the Cardinals, I have receiver, Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, he's a free agent, and he may retire. So either they resign him or he retires. I don't see him signing with anyone else. So either he's going to be back for one more year or he's going to be retiring. I say I don't see him, but I would not be shocked if he does not sign with a contender for one year.
Yeah,
he deserves to, and I don't think anyone would. A lot of players, you know, leave and maybe they get discredited. Fitz is not one of those guys. I think the team would almost push him. Like, you know what?
You've earned it.
Like, we'll pay you if you want to come back because that's how much you mean to this team. Mm-hmm. But go play for someone, and then we'll bring you back as a coach in 2 years.
Yeah, like, at his age, why go through another coaching change? I mean, if you're going to go through a coaching change, go get a new coach who's going to take you to a Super Bowl.
And it sucks because this is the one coach that could probably utilize him even more than he's. What you want is whatever you want to say about Cliff Kingsbury, whether he's the man to lead the Cardinals to the promised land or whatever, he would do wonders to that offense with Josh Rosen and Larry Fitzgerald. There's no arguing that, I don't think, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, you can't argue
they
that.
They may lose games 40-50, but that offense is going to improve substantially.
So, yeah, I agree.
So I'm just going to say this. I had a dream. I know Martin Luther King Day is around the corner. Not on that status. But I had a dream literally 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what substance this came from, but a lot of, you know, people say, you know, your dreams may mean something. Larry Fitzgerald signed with the Broncos.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just saying it was a dream.
Huh, that's weird.
Yeah. I don't know why. But anyway.
If I'm Larry, I'm signing with a quarterback who can take you to the Super Bowl.
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm not saying that we have the current quarterback at the helm when he signed. I don't know. Maybe something changes.
Mm, interesting. You know who needs a receiver is Pittsburgh.
Well, depending on what goes down there, but that seems like a toxic situation, yeah.
But we'll just keep in mind where Larry went to college.
That's true. For those of you who don't know, he went to Pittsburgh.
Something to think about.
Yeah, University of Pittsburgh.
Something to think about.
Long time ago, though. But the other need I have on there is offensive line. I mean, the Cardinals had, like, an abysmal offensive line, one of the worst, one of the oldest, as we mentioned back when we were doing a OTA podcast back in May last year. We talked about that. But
and I believe Ipadi is a free agent,
which is
probably their best lineman.
Yeah, and he's a free agent, I would assume they try to bring him back. But, yeah, they need to draft, like, 3 to 5 offensive linemen in this year's draft. So,
yeah.
So those are the two needs I had.
Yeah, I had receiver as well.
I don't want to cut you off.
Sure.
With the receiver part, we only mentioned Fitzgerald, but they have Christian Kirk, who got injured last year, so we got to see how he comes back.
Yep.
And then outside of him,
there's not much.
There's not much. So
not much.
Yeah, we were talking about Fitz, but there's really not much there outside of
Christian Kirk. Yeah. I put Edge. You know, Vance Joseph is coming to town. They ran a 4-3 last year. Vance Joseph ran a 4-3 when he was in Miami as a defensive coordinator. He ran a 3-4 as a head coach. Not sure how much he actually had in that. I anticipate them staying in a 4-3. They have Chandler Jones, but, you know, you need a premier pass rusher in this league, and you can never have too many. So, with the number one overall pick, there's a few pretty solid edge rushers to choose from. So, I edge and wide receiver are my two biggest needs for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Yeah, outside of, like, probably five teams in the NFL, you can always take an edge rusher.
Right, exactly.
Like, there's about five where you're like, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
Outside of those five, you can always take one. So,
right, exactly.
Cool. Moving on to the Seahawks. I'll let you go first on this one.
So I have offensive line. Yep. Their offensive line improved vastly this year. They have a good core, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But their tackle positions are the biggest area of need for me. I think their interior is solid. But then I also have safety and tight end.
Yeah. I put offensive line as well just because a lot of improvement. But that's another – we talked about edge rusher, but offensive line is another position that you can just always – you always want depth. You can always draft. It's a lot of injuries go on with there. And while they were improved, I still think they can get better. The other one I put, and it goes along with kind of what you said, I just put defense. And not because their defense was bad, but because if you look at their 2019 free agency list, they have a crap ton of free agency. I think that KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, I believe, as well. They have both linebackers who are premier linebackers that are going to be asking for a lot of money.
Yep.
Both of them are free agents.
Yep.
They have deep free agents in the secondary. So, I mean, a lot of these questions will be answered on that March, whatever, 14th, 15th, whenever the new league year starts.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll clear things up for when the draft comes. But as of right now, that defense is a big question mark because there is a lot of guys that may be gone come next year.
Yeah. Yeah, their rebuild may be coming a little bit later than everybody thought. Everybody thought this was going to be the rebuild, but yeah, they're going to have some big decisions coming up for sure.
And I mean, I assume they want to keep, obviously, KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner. Those are two of the premier linebackers, but.
You also got to pay Russell.
Yeah.
His contract's coming up too, I think.
He has 1 year left.
Yeah.
Now, we alluded to that and we talked to two Seahawks guys the last two podcasts, and I kind of floated that, like. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance he gets traded? Because guess what? If they don't, they're going to lose a lot of their premier guys if they're going to be giving him 28-30, and maybe someone comes knock and say, hey, give us a rental on Wilson, see if we can convince him to go. So I don't know. A lot of interesting stuff there in Seattle that we'll see. And Don Snyder is usually he's a very good GM, but he's a very frugal GM. I think we haven't seen him spend a lot on a lot of guys. He's the guy that let Richard Sherman walk. He wouldn't pay for Earl Thomas. When he extended Russell Wilson, it was for quarterback that just won MVP at the Super Bowl, very cheap, for low number of years, let Marshawn Lynch retire.
And in all reality, you could pay, in my opinion, you could pay Wright and Wagner what you would pay for Russell alone. And
absolutely.
And seeing what Schneider's done in the past, I could see him keeping Wright and Wagner and possibly letting Wilson walk out. Not that that's
which is crazy because
the right decision.
You don't let a franchise quarterback walk.
I wouldn't think, but you know, you never know.
And I don't think he'll let him walk. I think it would be
a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if something happens, it'll be before either this year starts or midseason, depending how their season's going. Because you're not going to let a franchise guy walk. Like, Washington looks so dumb for that. I mean, yeah, they ended up getting Kirk Cousins. I mean, they let Kirk Cousins walk. They ended up getting Alex Smith.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you get a guy that you franchise twice and you just let him walk away. Like, you get something for him.
Yeah. And in all reality, in today's league, they should sign Russell before they sign either one of the other two.
I mean, it's – and we're saying this for fun. It's like a probably 98% chance that he signs a long-term deal. And probably one of those linebackers end up being gone unless they're willing to take a pay cut.
I would assume. Yeah. And they're both fairly – they've been in the league for a hot minute. And for linebackers, you don't last very long.
Yeah. Yeah, but I still think Wagner gets top dollar.
For a linebacker.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
For his position, yeah. But linebacker top dollar, he's probably getting what you think? Middle linebacker?
I would say maybe 11.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say 8 to 12 in that range.
Yeah, because you think of linebackers that get paid, they're the 3-4 outside linebackers who get to the quarterback.
Yeah, the Von Miller's, the Khalil Max.
Yeah.
But the middle linebackers, yeah, are getting in the 8, 9, 10. Right. Like, what does Kuechly make? I think he's in that.
God, I couldn't even tell you. He's probably making 9 or 10.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, on to the Niners. I'll let you start.
Okay. So for the Niners, I have wide receiver. I mean, they took Dante Pettis. They have Pierre Garçon locked in for a little bit, but you need that. I don't think Dante Pettis is a premier number one.
Nope.
So you need to build around Jimmy Garoppolo if he's your future plans. And then I also have defensive tackle, which seems weird, but if you read my mock draft, you see why. They've drafted defensive line 3 of the last 4 years. But you win games in the trenches. So wide receiver and defensive tackle for me are the two biggest needs for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep. Well, real quick before I say what I said, Kuechly makes $10.6
million. There you go. What did I say, $9
million? Yeah, we said between 8 and 11. So
there you go.
That's
perfect.
That's middle linebacker money.
And that's the best in the league. So
yeah,
it's going to be hard to swing getting more than Kuechly.
Yeah. I personally think Wagner is the best in the league, but he's not going to get more than – if he's making 10.6, it's going to be 11.
Right.
11.5.
Yeah, he's not going to get much more than that if he gets more than that.
Yeah, so
– and Kuechly's a lot younger. You got to keep that in mind, too.
So, for the Niners, I also had receiver. I agree with you 100%. Like Dante Pettis, he's not a number one. Pierre Garçon, I think, was hurt again this year. He got hurt 2 years ago. Marquise Goodwin's a – complimentary receiver. They need a number one receiver, true number one receiver.
Yep.
And there's some good ones in this draft, I think this is
a
better,
very deep receiver class.
Very deep draft compared to last year. We could see 3, 4, 5, 6 guys in the first round. Probably not that many, probably more on the 3 to 4 range.
Right, but you could argue for 6.
Yeah, you could you wouldn't be mad if the 6th guy went in the first round, because that's the talent level there.
Yep.
And they're interchangeable how they're ranked. Yeah, there's a few guys I could see. If Jimmy Garoppolo is the real deal, there's a few guys I see that could do some good damage there.
Yeah.
I also had defensive tackle, like you. Crazy, because I feel like they draft freaking defensive line every single year, and yet they still need a tackle. I also have cornerback. Kind of weak on the cornerback position. Just kind of, you know, not terrible, but not experienced.
Mm-hmm.
A little thin.
Sure.
Could use a guy. And lastly, I just threw in running back. And here's, and I don't mean running back in, like, when I say need, not a running back in the first round and a running back in the second round. They just need a little more depth. We just saw it in that system. I think anyone can play running back from what we saw. I mean, we saw Breida come in and all of a sudden be like an electrifying runner.
Sure.
Wilson came in. He was good when he filled in. They paid a bunch of money for McKinnon, which I think is stupid, because McKinnon was like a career backup, and all of a sudden they paid him all this money and they got hurt, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I think there's a need to at least draft another running back down to that roster just as a depth position, considering the injuries they've had. I mean, they have 3 guys that got injured last year. Who's to say they're not going to injure again next year?
Yeah, I can see that.
So as a depth need, I'm saying like 5th, 6th round.
Sure, sure. Okay, I can get on board with that.
Yeah.
All right, so we're now going to move into the AFC West, and I'll let you go ahead. I had Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos, but you can go in whatever order you want to.
Okay, well, I had the Chiefs first. So
there you go.
I put DB.
Yep.
You know, they're a little thin there. I know your thoughts on Marcus Peters. You don't love him, but I mean, it's still a loss at cornerback. Not necessarily in a negative loss, but it's still a body loss. Like, you want to add some depth there.
Sure.
There's some inexperience there. You were talking when you were watching the game. Nelson drives you crazy. So you need to add something there. At the safety position, Eric Berry, is he going to be back next year? We don't know. I know he's the heart and soul of that team, but he's slated to go this week. Age, injury, contract. We don't know what he's doing next year, so obviously they're going to be looking on the back end as well.
Yeah, definitely. I have corner specifically. I kind of like – I mean, Eric Berry, who knows? I don't know if he'll ever play a full season with us again. But I do like our safety situation with Jordan Lucas. And then Armani Watts will be back next year. I think we
Armani Watts turned into be a real nice surprise.
Yeah.
So we talked about him after the draft, and
yeah,
he was like we were expecting. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we're okay there. But definitely cornerback. We need cornerback help. You know, Kendall Fuller has played decent this year. But, yeah, Ward has kind of come on late. But, Steven Nelson, I like him because he's a Chief, but I'm not a fan of him. Yeah, so cornerback, and then I also have defensive line. I think nose tackle, we have Xavier Williams and Derek Nnadi. I think Derek Nnadi might be the future there, but we need someone to play opposite Chris Jones. Alan Bailey's there right now. We've kind of, you know, Tano Passanio, you know, he started off as a D-line, and then they switched him to a 3-4 outside backer. He doesn't really know where to fit in, so he's up in the air. We need to find a solid starter opposite Chris Jones to fill out that defensive line.
Yeah, I put linebacker in there as well, not because there's not a lack of talent, but just, you know, adding some competition there. We saw some lapses in the linebacker. I know adding Raglan and some of the guys in the offseason was a lot of, like, hype, and then we just didn't really see it totally play out.
Sure.
So, you know, adding competition there, maybe a guy comes in and ends up playing better.
Yeah.
That's all I had there. So, Broncos, I'll let you start.
The glaring one, I have quarterback.
Yep.
Quarterback need. And then I know you don't fully agree with me here, but I had safety as well.
Okay, yeah. I had quarterback, obviously. We'll see if they address that with the 10th pick or if they get one in a later round or trade it back in. I had cornerback as well. Obviously, Chris Harris Jr. is top in the league. I love Isaac Yiadom. We talked about him. I think he's going to be really good. But outside of that, not a lot of depth. And Yiadom, I don't know if he's ready to be the number two. I know he showed some promise later in the season after getting more playing time, but I think he's better as a nickel guy right now. We need a true number two guy. And if we could get someone at that 10 spot, it could be great. I also have linebacker. We really need a roving, true linebacker that can cover the pass, cover the run, like a Bobby Wagner, like a Luke Kuechly. And, hey, Bobby Wagner's asking for money in free agency. Maybe that's where the Broncos come knocking and sign him, and then we can eliminate that from the draft. We have Josie Jewell, who I like a lot. But, you know, he only covers one of those in the 3-4. We still have Brandon Marshall, who I don't know for sure if he's going to be back next year. Todd Davis will be back after signing an extension. So it's just we need depth and more youth at that position at the linebacker.
Yeah, I could definitely see the linebacker as well. Yeah, totally. Not bad.
So we'll see. Raiders.
Raiders.
The Raiders.
God, where to start?
Just their roster?
Yeah, I was going to say just
– You know what's interesting? And what's so funny is so many people have quarterback on there. Is there, like, real sentiment that they're going to move on from Derek Carr? Or do they want to see, like, competition? Or you're paying the guy $25 million a year.
I think the biggest reason that people are listing quarterback is because I think their idea is that Gruden wants his own guy.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on that.
I'm not either, because why would he take the job if he didn't like the quarterback?
Because he's Gruden. I mean, he did trade away Max, so who's to say he wouldn't trade away Carr? And he traded away Cooper. I mean, he traded away your stars. Why not trade away your
quarterback? I agree, but if he was going to do that, he should have traded him already. Like, why wait till
we're in the offseason? I don't think they're going to go quarterback. I don't think that's a need. I mean, you got a solid young quarterback who has had an up-and-down career, but I think you stick with him and try to build around him.
Yeah. I'd take him in a heartbeat.
I would, too. Well, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But, you know.
If you were starting a team and he was an option, you'd take him, not you from
right.
Mahomes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not anybody I'd take over Mahomes. But anyway, I have Edge number one. I mean, they had 13 sacks on the year, which is god awful.
That is embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
As an NFL team to get 13 sacks. I mean, I feel like me and you could suit up and maybe get like one or two.
We'd get pressure.
Yeah. Well, no, me and you played 16 games.
Yeah.
Our job was to work out and blitz the quarterback. That was it. That was our job.
We'd get one.
Yeah.
At least one.
Yeah.
I would think.
And we are not talented. We're slow. We're white. I'm 5'7". You're what, 5'8", 5'9"?
Yeah.
We'd probably get one. And these are NFL players making
millions of dollars.
And they got 13.
They got 13 as a team.
Yeah, as a team.
As a damn team.
Yeah, and we should be – I think we get one. I really do.
There's the
– On technique alone, on principle alone,
number
we get one.
So they were number 32 with 13. Number 31 had 30. That's more than twice.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, 30 sacks is bad. 13?
I don't know if that's scheme or – if I'm the defensive coordinator, I'm like, freaking get after the guy. What are you
– Damn. Yeah, so edge rusher
that
you need to get somebody.
Any rusher.
Any rusher. And then I also had wide receiver. I mean, you know, you trade, like we just said it, you trade away Mack, you trade away Cooper. Those are now your biggest needs, yep. Edge and wide receiver.
So I went more broad. I went pass rusher. Okay. Anyone that can rush the passer. I don't care if he's 5'7 and weighs 180 pounds. If he can rush, sign him up. Defensive back. They were definitely thin at the defensive back position. You know, Garen Conley still hasn't really come into his own. There are question marks at the safety position. And then even more broad, I just put skill position.
Yeah, running backs a need.
Running backs a need. Tight ends a need. Receivers a need. They need someone that can, like, make plays on offense.
Yeah, special you know, teams since, is a need.
Yeah, I mean, Marshawn Lynch is, you know, he's fun because he's the hometown kid. Can he still carry the rock? Yeah. But, you know, you should draft someone. Tight end, you know, they had a resurgence there a little bit. Receivers, Seth Jones, that's it? That's who they have?
Yeah, I think so. And Seth Roberts.
Seth Roberts, yeah.
Yeah.
Seth Jones is a hockey player. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. We just need to put NFL team for needs.
Yeah.
They just need a team.
A team. Alabama. Just go down to Alabama and just see who wants to play for you.
Hey, technically, we could say Clemson. Alabama's not the best team in college football.
That's true. All right. Last but not least.
Chargers.
The latest AFC team out of the playoffs, the Chargers.
So I went offensive line. I still think they need to address the tackle position. Their interior is fine. Feeney and
they have Forrest Lamp, but he was injured like all year basically.
This year I thought he was injured last year.
He missed the entire year last year.
He got injured again this year.
He was like off and on this year.
Okay. Well, if they can keep Lamp healthy, then their interior is fine.
Yeah. Oh, he's
because they got Pouncey and they got Lamp and Feeney. So if they can keep that intact, they're okay. But their tackle positions, Okung and then, oh God, I don't even know who they had playing right tackle. Levy,
yeah.
Seth Levy or Tim Levy,
yeah, I think,
Daniel
yeah.
Levy, I don't know, something. Someone who I'm not a big
the Chevy to the Levy,
but it was dry. So offensive line, particularly tackle, and then inside linebacker. I think they could use some playmakers there. I think Perryman might be a free agent, and he's kind of battled injuries on and off his entire career. They're good, obviously, outside with Bosa and Ingram. Yeah, they need a that thumper in the middle.
Yeah, it's crazy. We say this all the time, but we prep ahead of time, but we don't prep each other. But yeah, I had the exact same too. Linebacker and offensive line, outside line. The Chargers were, yes, they lost and they got beat bad by the Patriots, but they are one of the more complete teams in the NFL. I think that should be stated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have someone at every position level that can play at a high level. I mean, we saw what they did with Derwin James at safety. They still have great corners. They have, you know, decent, really good rush. They have okay at linebacker, which is why we said they have a need at linebacker. Mm-hmm. They have a good offensive line, but they can improve. And obviously, they have good skill positions and a good quarterback. So, not a lot of needs, but obviously, you can shore up things. Offensive line, linebacker is the biggest need. I think some depth at cornerback would be helpful.
You could argue that they need to start looking at a plan for quarterback in the future.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the year to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
I mean, it's crazy that Phillip Rivers is the same draft as Eli Manning because he's playing at such a higher level than what Eli is playing right now.
Which, granted, that's why Rivers was drafted above Manning. Or no. Manning was drafted above and then they traded.
Traded, yeah.
My bad.
But, I mean, it was It was 1-4, so.
Yeah. And then,
But, I mean, granted, Eli has 2 Super Bowls and Phil has none. I mean,
that goes
into the whole debate if quarterback truly means that much on your team, which, hey, we'll get into that in their time.
That's a whole other podcast.
Other podcast, and that's a fun one at that. But, yeah, there you have it. So those are the positions we see need. Tune in on Wednesday. We're going to drop this podcast, our draft-only podcast, where we're going to go position by position and say the players – that can fill those needs. So we're going to give you the guys, if you're a Rams fan, who are the guys that can fill that cornerback position, that edge position, that safety position? If you're a Seahawks fan, who can fill that defensive efficiency if we lose those guys in free agency? If you're a Broncos fan, is Drew Lock the next quarterback? Is Easton Stick? Who is the guy that maybe they're going to go after? So tune in next Wednesday. We're going to break it down. Talon's one of our huge draft guru guys. We're going to get into it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a good guest on. I'm not saying his name because I want to tease it. It's a good guest. Really good guest.
Guys, it's me. Come on.
No, it's a third party. Someone else.
I was just kidding.
Someone else. So But, yeah, anything else you want to add, brother?
Super looking forward to the draft podcast. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And, you know, the regular Coach and Don will be back here every Friday night.
Yep.
Published for you on Saturdays.
I do want to mention coming up is our one-year official Coach and the Don anniversary. We're going to have something little fun in store for that.
Yeah, well, you beat me to it. So I was going to say next Friday on our flagship, we're going to break down kind of our best moments from last year because it's our one-year anniversary of the Coach and the Don. So we're going to go through some of our sound bites. So if you've been a fan, if you've tuned in, we're going to put some sound bites on there, talk about some of the, like, you know, the fun stuff we've done. If you're new, if you like podcasting and you're new to it, we'll kind of break down kind of how it works, like how to start your own podcast, you know, some equipment stuff. It's going to be a fun show. It's going to be a lot of fun. So,
yes, sir.
So next Wednesday, draft stuff. Next Saturday will be our one-year anniversary of the Coach and the Don. We couldn't be more excited. Like I said earlier, make sure to go to sportsaldente.com. Use that promo code WELCOME10 to subscribe to any of our subscription. Gets you full access to all of our content. You're not going to want to miss all this draft stuff. We're having a lot of video breakdowns, draft profiles, a lot of fun stuff. So tune in to that. We appreciate you guys. Coach, have a great evening.
You too, sir.
We'll talk next week.
Shot of hope.